Exodus chapter number 3. I've been in Exodus a whole bunch here in the past couple of weeks. I feel that the Lord would want us to be there. When you get to Exodus chapter 3, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a couple of you. I like to hear the pages rattle, but not too long. Amen. I'll tell you a joke before we get started. There was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching the five-year-old boys class. Ornery kids. Y'all know that type? Anybody ever met the five-year-old boys before? And that Sunday school teacher was teaching on why alcohol is wrong. And alcohol is wrong, amen?
Amen.
And she set a glass of water on one side of the podium and a glass of alcohol on the other side of the podium. She had her a cup of night crawlers. And she took them night crawlers and she said, "Class, watch these night crawlers." She set them down in that glass of water. They swam around and they was staying alive and they just swimming around in that glass of water. She took a few more night crawlers and set them down in that glass of alcohol. They swam around for a second and they choked out and died. She said, "Class, what's the moral of the story?" And little Johnny raised his hand and said, "If you got worms, drink a lot of alcohol." Amen. He didn't get it, did he? He didn't get it. He did not get the story. But I hope that you get what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Amen. And if you're in Exodus chapter number 3, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt.' And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Tonight, I believe that we all can relate to this passage of Scripture as Moses is standing in the middle of the desert. He's in the backside of the desert, as the Bible describes. And in the Christian life, I believe we can all relate to being in the desert places
Yes.
of our lives at times. And I believe that it is in those places that God shows us great and mighty things.
Yes,
and He uses us out of those places that we come to in those desert places. But tonight, I believe that we can all agree that God used Moses greatly. You know the story of Moses, how God used him to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage and out of slavery of the Egyptians. Amen.
Amen.
God used Moses greatly, but it was not until Moses did some required things of God. And so tonight I believe that we have a problem in churches, in 21st century Christendom. I believe that the New Testament saints have a problem, and we have a problem with obedience. Amen. Don't bow your head, it ain't time to pray yet. We got a problem with obedience, doing what God tells us to do. And a lot of us look at God and we say, "Why have you continued to put me in this desert place? Why have you continued to put me on the back side of the desert? And why, Lord, can't I feel you on my left hand and I can't feel you on my right hand? Why, God, is it so hard for me to see you at times?" And I tell you, there's a whole big reason. There's a whole bunch of reasons why God doesn't use us in the day that we live in. And tonight, with the help of God, I want to preach on this thought. If you're taking an outline, this is my title. I want to preach on why God won't use us in the day that we live in. Some reasons why God won't use us. And I believe that if we would look at what Moses did in this passage of Scripture, we can find why God used Moses greatly. I mean, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses was this man that was able to perform miracles during the plagues of Egypt. Moses was the one that God chose to lead the Israelites out of the hands of the Egyptians. Moses was the one that God used to use his staff to hit that rock and water came flowing out. Moses was the one that God used greatly as he penned those words of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Moses was God's servant.
Yep, you're right.
And he used him greatly tonight. And I want to show you why a lot of us ain't going to experience God using us. A lot of churches ain't experiencing God using them. And I want to give you the remedy for it. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to not, and I'm preaching to myself. I don't want you to think that I'm just hounding everybody here. Listen, when I'm preaching, I'm talking about myself. If I don't do these things, God ain't going to use me.
Lord, help us.
Amen. And I don't know about you, but if God ain't using me, then my life is pretty useless. If God ain't involved in my life, then my life is pretty worthless. And I've been in situations when I've so been disobedient and so distanced myself from God that He was not using me. And let me tell you, those are the worst times that I've ever experienced in my life is when God could not use me because I was too distant from Him. And so tonight, with the help of God, for the next few minutes, for the next 4.5 hours, I want to preach on. Y'all awake tonight? For the next few minutes, I'm not going to preach too long on why God won't use us. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I love you and I need you tonight. I pray, Lord, in heaven that from the top of my head to the sole of my feet that I'd be able to yield myself to you. God, that you'd fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Give me a fresh anointing, Lord, to preach like I never have preached before. And God, I thank you for Crossroads Baptist Church. But Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And Lord, I beg you and I plead with you tonight that we would be able to remove distractions out of our hearts. God, I ask you that you would bind the hands of Satan in this next few minutes, that you would just meet with us and that the Holy Ghost would have free reign to walk up and down the corridors of our hearts and our minds to speak to us, Lord, that we might be able to leave out of here different than the way that we walked in. Yeah. And Father, we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory for everything you do for us. And it is in that blessed holy name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Now tonight I want to show you three reasons why God won't use most of us. But I want to use it by way of example. Moses set a very good example for us in Exodus chapter number 3. And in this passage of Scripture we notice in verse number 3 the Bible says, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt." I'll notice God used Moses because he was willing to reverse course. And God won't use most of us today. The reason why God ain't using most people today, the reason why we ain't seeing countrywide revivals like we used to, amen, the reason why we're not seeing church pews filled up, the reason why God won't use us is because we're not willing to reverse course. Now let's establish some facts about Moses. Y'all don't get nervous. Can I walk around for a little bit? Amen. Moses was walking through the desert leading his father-in-law's flock. And the Bible tells us that as Moses journeyed through the backside of the desert, there was a bush burning, but it was not consumed. Now, how many of y'all's rednecks in here and you ain't afraid to admit it? I got both my hands up, friend. I like it. I'm a country boy. I'm not a Yankee, and I got a problem with Yankees. Somebody help me. I'm just kidding. Can we have a good time tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Now, how many of y'all been out on the fishing bank before and you seen them tumbleweeds, them bushes that has broke free from their roots and they're just dried up and they're good, they make good kindling, don't they? You ever started a fire on the fishing bank? Amen. I do it. I like it. I'm a pyromaniac. I like it. Amen. And I start me a fire and I look for them bushes. I look for them bushes because they're good for starting a fire. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but it would be a pretty unusual thing for me to see a bush in the middle of a fire and it's not being consumed.
Yeah.
But what Moses saw out of the corner of his eye, I believe it happened exactly like this. I believe out of the corner of his eye he saw this fiery, burning bush. And Moses, as he was heading in one direction, Moses, as he had his planned out route, I'm sure he did the same thing every day. He's going to take the flock of his father-in-law Jethro out to do exactly what they do all the time. He's got his route planned out. And Moses, as he is on his journey, on his way, out of the corner of his eye, sees a burning bush. And the Bible tells us that he turns. You know, I believe that it's a perfect illustration of God trying to show us things over here when we've got our focus over here.
Yeah.
I believe that it is a perfect example of God trying to show us things that He wants for us, whether it's a miracle or whether it's a mighty work, whether it's something that God wants us to do, whether He wants to use us in a mighty way. God wants to show us something that is out of our straight line focus. God wants us to turn our eyes off of whatever it is that we've got going on. God wants us to turn our focus off of the world. He wants us to turn our focus off of our job. He wants us to turn our focus off of our problems and off of our circumstances and look to what's burning, look to what's going on, where God is at. He wants us to reverse course if He's going to use us. I'm not saying that a job is a bad thing. We all got to make a living. Amen. Amen. I believe that you ought to work. Amen. Amen. Somebody that don't work is worse than an infidel. Amen. That's in the Bible. Amen. I believe we ought to work. And I don't believe you ought to be a slacker. But let me tell you something. Priorities. God comes way above that job. God comes way above that social club that you might be involved in. God comes way above them hobbies that you might have. And boy, I love fishing, praise God. I feel good about talking about fishing. I feel the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you something, friend. More important than fishing is being where God wants you to be. More important than your hobbies is being where God wants you to be. More important than whatever it is that you've got going on in your life, let me tell you, we are all full of problems. You look around this room and we all have problems. Amen. Every single person in here has problems. But let me tell you something. Focusing on the problem never solves the problem.
Amen.
Focusing on the issue never solves the issue. I tell you what solves the problem. Focusing on the one who's able to fix your problem.
That's
what solves the problem. That's what fixes your issues. That's what pulls you up out of the pits and out of the miry clay and sets your feet upon a rock and establishes your going and puts a new song in your heart. If you are going to experience God using you in your life, you're going to have to reverse course.
That's good preaching.
We've gotten so busy in our lives.
Lord, help us.
My job, my hobbies, my wife, my kids, my burdens. I've got to make a good rapport with my friends. I've got to add on to the house. I've got to mow the lawn. And we've got all kind of plans. We've got all kind of plans. I tell you, we've gotten so busy in 21st century America, we've just scheduled God right out of our lives. And people want to ask me all the time, well, why don't you think? Why don't you think we experience right? Why don't you think that God's moving in our church? I tell you why God's not moving in our church, because we've gotten too busy for God. We've gotten too busy to have God on the agenda.
Lord, help
Amen. I've been in church services. Thank God it ain't like this here. Praise God for Crossroads Baptist Church where they do it right. Amen.
Amen.
I've been in church services where they try to schedule the Holy Ghost out of it.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this song. And then at the end of the service, we're going to sing the doxology. Amen. Y'all know what that is? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. You can smile at me a little bit. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Sound like a Catholic church to me.
Amen.
Amen. What I like is when the preacher gets up and says, we're going to sing this number. And if the Holy Ghost tells me we're going to sing another one, we're going to sing another one. Bless
Amen.
God. Amen. And whatever God says during this service, it'll go. And if God says to preach on, I'm going to preach on. Amen. And if God says you need to get up onto the altar, God's going to put you on the altar. You're going to say, yes, sir, I'm going to go to the altar. Amen. But there's a reason why God ain't using Christians. There's a reason why God ain't using churches no more. There's a reason. Because we ain't willing to reverse course. Let me tell you, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Let me tell you something, friend. God's Word ain't never changed.
Amen.
And the reason why we have lost our success is not because that Word's changed.
Yep.
Not because God's changed, but because we've changed.
Yep.
We've gotten too busy. We're not willing to reverse course. And I tell you, God will use a Christian that says, Lord, my priorities are not as important as you are. Amen. My circumstances are not as important as you are, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I will reverse my course and focus my eyes on you. The Bible tells us that Moses turned aside. It's an action. I hear a lot of people talking about it. Well, I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to do right. And I'm going to pay my tithe. And I'm going to support the preacher. And I'm going to be faithful to church. And I'm going to, and I'm going to, and I'm going to. But talk is cheap.
Amen.
It don't cost you nothing to say that you're going to. Yeah. But I tell you, it has something to say about people who actually do what they say they're going to do.
Amen.
The Bible says, boast not thyself on tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me say, friend, today is the day you get stuff done.
Amen.
Now is the time to start serving God. Now is the time to reverse course. Now is the time to say, I'm going to be used by God.
Amen.
Whether my friends leave me, my family forsakes me, I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
And He's going to use me. Amen.
Amen.
God used Moses because he was willing to reverse course. But God also used Moses because in verse number 4, the Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God was pleased with his action.
Amen.
I like it. You know, the Lord watches us.
Amen.
Amen. He watches everything we do.
Amen.
The Bible says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now watch this here. And he said, Lord, I'm busy right now. And he said, Lord, my TV show's on.
Yeah.
I don't say that in mine.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Lord, I'm working overtime tonight. Real quiet on that one.
Amen.
Lord, I'm busy. I don't have time. No, that's not what he said. And he said, here am I. Here am I. God used Moses because he reversed course. God used Moses because he responded correctly.
Amen.
He responded correctly. I'm so sick and tired of the generation that we live in. Y'all remember being taught that you ought to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Y'all remember that? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they stopped teaching that stuff. I mean, I'm not very old. Michael's not very old. And we was raised to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yeah, amen. Yeah, that's what we was taught. But you know what? The day that we live in, it's all this naw and and mm-hmm and all kind of, I mean, I don't like it. I don't like it. I like yes, sir, and I like yes, ma'am. I like here am I.
Amen.
You know, a lot of Christians are saying, no, not right now, God. A lot of us are saying, leave us alone, Lord. I'm too busy.
Yeah.
A lot of us are saying, not right now. When I get the time, let me make some time for you, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
That's very sad. It's very sad to see Christians, and I see it every day. I see people every day saying, I'm more interested in my job. I'm more interested in my bank account.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in buying the next truck so I can keep up with my neighbor. I'm more interested in carnal things, worldly things. Lord, I'm just not real interested in turning aside.
Lord, help us.
And I'm not real interested in talking to you. But God used Moses because he reversed course. But God used Moses because he responded correctly.
Amen.
Let me say, the correct response goes a long way with
Lord,
God.
Yes, it does.
It goes
Amen.
A long way.
Amen, preacher.
You know, a lot of us are saying, when you help me, that's when I'll serve you. When you show up in my life, Lord, that's when I'll get serious about you. Whenever you do something for me, you scratch my back and then I'll scratch yours. But boy, that's the opposite.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the opposite of what God wants for us. God says, seek ye first
Amen.
The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
That's
I'm telling you tonight, if we want to be used by God, let me just ask you a question. How many people at Crossroads Baptist Church tonight want to be used by God? Amen, it's an important thing, and I believe that you want to be used by Him. I believe that there's a congregation here tonight that wants to be used by God, but if we're going to be used by God, we can't say, Lord, the task is too big. We can't say, Lord, the people are they're too wicked. We can't reach them. We cannot say to God, Lord, the task is impossible. Listen, do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the one who's able to part the waters. You're talking to the one who's able to take the stars and the planets and the sun and the moon in a handful and cast them out, and they hang where they're at tonight because God wants them to hang there. You're talking to the God that created the heavens and the earth just by speaking it into existence.
Amen. That's good preaching.
Our response shouldn't be, Lord, do you know who you're sending me to? Our response should be, here am I.
Yeah, amen.
I'm ready to go.
Amen, preacher.
He didn't say, Lord, Pharaoh's a bad man. He didn't say, Lord, he's part of the Hell's Angels and he's got too many tattoos. That dude will stab me.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. That's not what Moses said. He didn't say, Lord, I've heard that he cusses out everybody that comes up and tries to tell him about Jesus.
Yeah.
Boy, we've had some doors slammed in our face, haven't we?
Amen.
We've been cussed out before, haven't we? Amen. It don't matter how big or how bad they think they are. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You think about what Moses did. He said, Lord, here am I. Use me. Here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do.
Amen, preacher.
And look at what God did with him.
Yeah.
Look at what God did with him. Don't sit here tonight and look at me like this little fat bald preacher. Don't have a clue what he's talking about. Not only have I seen it in my personal life.
Yeah. Tell about it.
Not only have I seen what responding to God correctly can do. Not only have I seen what doing what God tells me to do. Not only have I seen what that can do, but we have example after example after example after example in God's holy Word.
That's it.
We've got examples. We've got the proof.
Amen.
And you say, well, I believe it when I see it. Read your Bible.
Amen.
I believe it when I see it. Look at this preacher up here. He's pastoring a church tonight because he said yes to the Lord.
Amen.
And let me just tell you something. If you think if you've got this idea, and I hope that y'all don't. I don't know any of y'all from Adam. And from my perspective, y'all love Jesus and you don't have no mean bones in your body. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I think about you. Amen. I smile and wave. Amen.
Amen.
I've interviewed for some churches. I've candidated for some churches that said preachers come and go. You know, the preacher's not a very important position. You know, the pastor's not a very important thing. Wow. Let me tell you something. He's doing the hardest job in America.
Amen.
The hardest.
Exactly right.
Not only is he bearing his own burdens, he's a young man such as myself. I can relate real good because we're the same age doing the same thing. He's bearing his own burdens and his own struggles and his own problems. But he loves his congregation. And he wants to bear your burdens. Don't you ever think or minimize the position of the pastor. Don't you ever think that what he's doing, it ain't no big deal. They come and go. We can get another one. No, 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 no. This is big business. What he's doing tonight is important.
Amen.
And it's the most important thing in the world. Amen. Leading the flock of Jesus Christ. When the Lord said to Peter, he said, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And what he told him was, he didn't say build a big old church. He didn't say wear a bunch of fancy suits. He didn't say get their money. What he said was feed my sheep.
Amen.
Feed my sheep. And I'm looking at a bunch of hungry people tonight. But I wonder, how hungry are you? Are you hungry enough to do what it takes to be used by God?
Amen.
Are you hungry enough to make a fool out of yourself in front of the lost folks in this world?
Yeah.
To make a fool out of yourself so that you can lift up the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I promise you God will reward it.
Got that right.
I promise you God will fill a pew.
Yeah.
I promise you God will save a soul. I promise you God will put somebody in that baptistry.
Yeah.
I promise you that God will put some people in this church that you thought, well, there ain't no way they'd ever get in church. I promise you He will.
You're right, preacher.
You don't know the God that I know
if you think
that He won't do that. Amen.
Amen.
Moses reversed course. He responded correctly. I wonder how many times we've rejected when God's talked to us.
Lord, help us.
The Bible says in verse number 4 that God called out to Moses. He said, Moses, Moses. He said, Moses, Moses. Now watch this. How often in church services does God talk to you? He says, I want you to come. I want you to come forward. I want you to come and lay on this altar. I want you to call out to me. I want you to beg me. I want you to seek my face. A lot of us, we want to seek God's hand before we seek His face. The most important thing is to seek His face, because if we start looking like God, He will get His hand involved in our situation. Amen. But how often does God say, and I'm just going to talk about myself, because I know that y'all have never rejected the Lord, but there's been times that I have. There's been times that God said, Zach, I want you to come to the altar. I want you to just get up here and just humble yourself. Get on the altar. And I'm ashamed to say it. I know y'all have never done it, but there's been times that I said no. There's been times I said no. And boy, I think about those times. And what did God want from me that night? What did God want to do with my life? What was God going to do with my life that I said no to? I said no to Him. I can't get over the fact that if we just say yes to God, there's no telling what God can do with a willing servant.
Yes, amen.
And there's so many people across churches in America. There's so many people and there's so many churches that are telling God no. You wonder why America is in the shape that we're in tonight. It's because we've told God no.
Yeah, you're right, preacher.
Boy, we need some Christians that'll say yes. Yes, I'll serve you, Lord. Whatever it is you want me to do, I will do it, Lord. Yes.
Amen, preacher.
I'll do it. God used Moses.
Amen, preacher.
He reversed course. He responded correctly. But lastly, and I'm done, I want to help you. The Bible says in the next few verses, in verse number 5, I believe, He looked at Moses and He said, Moses, put off thy shoes. For the place where thou, upon which thou standest is holy ground.
Preach that, preacher.
God used Moses because He reversed course. God used Moses because He responded correctly. But God used Moses because He removed carnality.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He removed carnality.
That's it, preacher.
Those shoes is a picture of what we're holding on to in our lives. Those shoes is a picture of whether it's our unbelief, whether it's our unwillingness, whether it's whatever it is that you're holding on to. And like I say, from what it looks like, y'all love Jesus. From what it looks like, y'all want to serve Him. From what it looks like, y'all want to lift His name up. From what it looks like, y'all want to edify the church and exalt the Savior. From what it looks like, y'all are good folks. And I don't know your personal struggles, and I don't know your personal circumstances, but I do know one thing. If you're anything like me, you're a red-blooded American, and you've got problems.
Amen.
You've got vices. You've got things that you're holding on to. And a lot of the times what we do is we take our things that's ours, and we're holding on to it real tight because it's ours. Notice something about this offering plate, and this worked out pretty good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's empty. And because it's mine, a lot of the times I want to hold on to it. I want to hold on to it because it's mine. And I've worked so hard to get this offering plate. I've worked so hard for it. It's mine. And God says, give it to me. I said, Lord, I don't want to give it to you. This is mine. It's mine. I ain't giving it to you. I'm holding on to it. When God, all He's doing is trying to trade me.
Yeah. Amen.
He wants to give me something with a little bit in it.
Yeah.
He wants to give me something that'll sustain me. There ain't nothing in there that will sustain me. But there's something in there. And I know that's an offering plate, and if y'all are offended by that, I'm sorry. But a lot of times we're holding on to just stubble, wood, hay,
Amen.
And stubble. We're just holding on to stuff that doesn't even matter. And God says, if you give me that, just give it to me first.
Yeah. Amen.
Just give it to me. Let me show you what I can do.
Amen.
He'll fill it up. He'll fill it up. And tonight I wonder what God's asking you to do.
Yeah.
every single one of us need to remove some things.
Yeah, you got that.
All of us do. All of us do. Every single one of us can do better. And boy, I tell you, if there's anything that I've learned in my life, there's been times that I've been in a desert. And boy, I don't like the desert. I don't like it. There's been times that the devil's got up on my shoulder, said, God's never going to use you again. You're done. You're through. Just throw in the towel.
Yeah.
You might as well just go back to that lifestyle you used to live, and you might as well just go back to those friends you used to hang out with. You might as well call up them girls you used to know. You might as well just go back to that wickedness, because God ain't never going to use you again. And there's times that the devil discourages when we're in the dry place.
Amen.
But I tell you, there's also times,
amen,
that God shows up in those dry places.
Oh, yeah.
And if it wasn't for the dry place,
yeah,
I don't know that I would be so excited about getting a sip of water.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
If it wasn't for the dry desert,
amen,
that put some calluses on my hands, it put some pain in my legs, put some burdens on my back. If it wasn't for those dry times, boy, the water wouldn't taste so good.
That's right, preacher.
But it's good when God shows up.
Amen.
It's not good. It's better than good.
That's right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And some of y'all are sitting here tonight saying, you know what? I want to be used by God.
Amen.
I want to be used by
God.
Amen,
preacher.
Those things that was holding me back, they ain't worth it.
Yeah.
I promise you, it ain't worth it. Whatever it is that you're holding on to tonight, whatever it is that God's telling you to take off, whatever it is that God has spoke to you tonight and told you to remove from your life, can I tell you, can I help you? It ain't worth it.
Yeah, you're right, preacher.
Just get rid of it. It ain't worth it. Because on the other side of that removal, on the other side of that removal is deliverance.
Yeah, that's right.
On the other side. But you can't have deliverance till you remove. God used Moses. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Moses was God's man, servant of the Lord. God used him. I wonder, is God going to be able to use you? Is God going to be able to use me? Because, He might be telling me to reverse course. If I don't do that, He might not be able to use me. And He might tell me to respond correctly. Boy, I want to respond when God's talking to me.
Amen.
I want to respond the right way.
Yeah.
And God might be telling me to remove some things in my life. And I want to make sure I do what He tells me to do.
Amen.
With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, nobody's looking around, I want to ask you a few questions. Maybe God spoke to you tonight. Maybe God's speaking to you right now. Say, Brother Zach, you don't know me and I don't know you, but you was talking to me tonight and I ask you to pray for me. Is there anybody that would be honest and just slip up their hand? Nobody's looking around. I see hands all over the house tonight. Hands all over the house. Nobody's looking around. I see those hands. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray. Listen, the most important thing that you can do is be honest with God. And just let Him work on you tonight. While we stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to sing a few verses of invitation. I'm going to sing a few verses of invitation. I invite you to come with heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. It's time to just get serious with the Lord. While I sing, would you come?